From the headquarters of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette on Capitol and Scott in downtown Little Rock, this is Capitol and Scott. I'm your host, Laura Farrar. The pandemic has placed strains on the legal system in Arkansas. Court suspended trials when the coronavirus was at its worst. But even though trials were halted, new defendants continue to enter the system, which has created an unprecedented backlog of cases for public defenders, who are court-appointed attorneys for those who can't afford their own legal representation. Arkansas Democrat Gazette investigative journalist Will Langhorn recently wrote about this issue and joins us on the show today. Will, welcome to the show. First, how did you find out about the story related to this huge backlog of cases that public defenders pretty much across the state are dealing with? This is not a new issue. So what's been going on?
Well, we first learned about this issue from an article that one of our other reporters, John Lynch, reported on. He was writing about the backlog that public defenders and prosecuting attorneys are facing here in Pulaski and Perry County. Prosecutors and public defenders were seeing up to three, almost four times number of cases that they'd seen prior to the pandemic. And we were curious if this was an issue that had existed before the pandemic for public defenders and how pervasive the issue was across the state.
So obviously the pandemic has made it worse. The fact that public defenders who are representing clients who basically just can't afford their own attorneys are taking on huge numbers of caseloads. But prior to the pandemic, what's been going on and what's been causing them to have this huge backlog of cases?
Well, Executive Director of the Public Defender Commission, Greg Parrish, said that public defenders have been seeing rising caseloads for over 10 years now. And a lot of this has to do with staffing shortages. These offices have faced funding shortages as well. It's meant that public defender offices have had trouble hiring enough attorneys to manage caseloads and enough support staff to support those attorneys. So in addition to attorneys, public defender offices hire secretaries and inspectors that'll help these attorneys manage cases. And not having enough staff has made it really difficult to get through all these cases.
There is some type of kind of ethical code or something constitutional that public defenders have to follow that is supposed to ideally limit the number of cases that they have. Can you explain, you know, ideally how many cases they should take on a year, and then some examples of what you have heard about in terms of the caseloads across the state?
Sure, yeah. The American Bar Association recommends that attorneys manage up to 150 felony cases per year. Some public defenders that I've talked to have had caseloads recently that have exceeded 500 cases at a time. So these are 500 felony cases. And this has been pre-existing challenge, but as you mentioned, the pandemic has just made it worse. As courts put trials on hold, it's meant that defendants really haven't had an incentive to plead. And it's led to a lot of these cases stagnating and attorneys just having trouble managing them.
What do you mean defendants haven't had an incentive to plead?
Well, so if there's no trial or no possibility of holding a trial, defendants don't really have an incentive to enter a guilty plea and face potential prison time.
So you said there's some public defenders have had around 500 cases. Is that within, like you said, at a time, like literally if they're looking at what they have to, their caseload, it's at one point in time or over a certain period of time? What does that reflect in terms of what their workload is?
It's generally within one period of time. So they're managing up to 500 cases at a time. And those cases can fluctuate as the office receives more cases and as attorneys dispense with cases. So those numbers tend to be pretty fluid, but obviously they exceed the recommendations that the American Bar Association has laid out. And I should note that those recommendations are almost 50 years old, and there's been some question by legal experts as to whether those limits are ethical and if they allow attorneys to uphold the constitutional rights of their defendants to receive adequate counsel.
So with that many cases, what do they do? I mean, how do they even try to tackle that? What is their approach? Is there any solution at this point?
What we're seeing in courts is many of these trial dates tend to get put off for months at a time. And it's been difficult too for courts because judges have to manage the health concerns of holding court during the pandemic with the rights of these defendants for a speedy trial. So many times these cases tend to just get put on hold. There are multiple court dates where trial dates get set off. So essentially there's just a continuing series of delays.
With these being, are they mostly felony trials or cases that they're handling?
Yeah, primarily we've been looking at felony cases in circuit courts, primarily in Washington County, Pulaski County. We've also looked at some cases in Crittenden County and Poinsett County. So primarily throughout the northern part of the state.
Does that mean though that the people who are requiring or needing this type of legal assistance, are they mostly just sitting in jails waiting for their trials, or does this impact their jail time as well?
Yeah, it can depend on the severity of the charges against them. Some of these defendants are out. Many of these defendants who are out of jail, it can be difficult for public defenders to keep in touch with them as their cases are delayed. Some of the public defenders that I've spoken to here in Pulaski County mentioned that the clients that they represent are indigent, which means they tend to change their phone numbers, their addresses frequently. Getting them to appear for court dates can be challenging, and that can lead to additional charges as these clients don't appear in court. So that complicates the process. Additionally, as these attorneys are trying to manage additional charges that might be coming in against their clients.
Do public defenders have to take on, are they like appointed these clients? Can they turn them away? Is that why this backlog is happening? Are they trying to sort of mitigate the number that they have? Can they shift them to different offices? How does that work in the state?
Right. Well, there's a big question about that now. Recently, there was an opinion that came down from the Office of Ethics Counsel under the state Supreme Court saying that attorneys who have reached an unethical caseload level should turn away cases. And public defenders here in Pulaski County have made the unprecedented move of announcing that if caseloads aren't reduced by March 1st, public defenders will start objecting to new cases. So managing public defender in Pulaski and Perry County, Bill Simpson said that he plans to transfer around 3,000 cases out of his office to the Arkansas Public Defender Commission. But the commission isn't funded to take on these cases. Greg Parrish, the executive director of the commission, said that he doesn't think that the money is in his budget. He doesn't think that he has the attorneys to manage these additional 3,000 cases Pulaski and Perry County would be transferring out of their office. And this isn't a matter that these attorneys in Pulaski and Perry County are taking lightly. Bill Simpson, the managing public defender here, he's been working since 1979, and he said since then he's never had to transfer a case. He's never objected to taking on an additional case. So this is a significant decision here.
So I don't understand, just in terms of this backlog of cases with these courts, did you hear anything about just the strategy to try to get through them? Because obviously, every day or every week, there are still new people entering the system who have committed some type of crime. So it's not like it's going away. You know, nothing is stopping here to get through this backlog. Life continues. What are they going to do?
Of course, yeah. The solutions that public defenders and prosecutors here in Pulaski County have proposed is adding additional courts. So this would mean additional judges, additional attorneys, additional support staff. And the purpose of these additional courts would be to manage this backlog. Public defenders and prosecutors expect that with additional judges and attorneys, they would be able to shift through the backlog they currently have if they had 2 to 3 more courts. But of course, this solution will take a significant amount of money to fund this. And state officials are hoping to find these funds in the American Rescue Plan, potentially some coronavirus relief plans. Most of these solutions would be temporary, but hopefully they'd be able to reduce the backlog that we're currently seeing that's due primarily to these COVID delays.
You're listening to Capital and Scott. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Laura Farrar. The stories we dive into on Capitol and Scott are just a fraction of the reporting the Democrat Gazette brings to readers every day. If you'd like to support our commitment to bringing you the latest in Arkansas news, sports, and entertainment, consider subscribing to the Democrat Gazette. With your subscription, you'll get a digital edition of the newspaper every morning, along with the latest news and updates delivered to you on an iPad provided at no extra cost. For just $34 a month, you'll get the same award-winning journalism you've come to expect from the Democrat Gazette, plus exclusive photo galleries, videos, articles, and digital extras like this podcast, all in the palm of your hand. To sign up today, call 1-800-482-1121 or visit us online at arkansasonline.com/subscribe. Welcome back to Capitol and Scott. So I think that there are some deeper issues that your story discusses related to sort of systemic issues with the backlog here in public defenders. First, the state is obligated to fund these attorneys and their support staff. But what you have found is that the funding has just not been enough. And so a lot of counties around the state are having to pay excess to help these offices function. And that is lessening the amount of funds that are going to other programs that these counties need to fund. What did you find? What is going on in some of these places where they're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to keep these public defenders going? What did your reporting find?
So state statutes require that the state pays for the salaries of public defenders and their support staff. Counties are responsible for paying for office supplies and the office space needed to house these offices. But in practice, many of these counties are finding that they don't have the number of public defenders that they would need to manage cases locally. And so they've had to pay for additional public defenders. Sometimes this can be part-time positions, other times it's full-time positions. And in the most excessive cases, for example, in Benton County, the county's had to spend just shy of $1 million in 2020 to support these additional positions. And many of the county judges and county officials that I've talked to have said that these positions are critical to managing cases in their counties. So without these positions, they wouldn't be able to keep cases moving fluidly through their court systems, and that could lead to a backlog in their jails, which could lead to additional funding issues. But of course, this leads to challenges. It detracts funds that they might be able to spend on other projects. Even the requirement to fund office space has put a strain on some of the smaller counties in the state. For example, I spoke to the county judge in Lee County, and he mentioned that funding that's going to the public defender's offices could go to managing courts, district courts. He said that the counties had trouble with record management locally.
So these counties, had they already been allocating funds to begin with to sort of cover some of the needs of the attorneys there, or is this something they're having to look at their fiscal budgets and say, okay, we're going to have to take $500,000 out of money that would go to, I don't know, whatever a county might spend money on, and move it over to the sort of this pot of money to help these offices?
Right. Well, generally, when a county is spending a good deal on public defenders, they say that while these funds could be useful in supporting other endeavors, they aren't as underfunded as some of the other counties in the state. For example, in Crittenden County, I spoke with the county judge, and he said the county's been very generous in supporting its public defenders. He said that the county spent nearly $500,000 to support public defenders and prosecuting attorney offices in 2020. And he said that he would like, of course, to spend these funds. He could spend these funds in other areas, but he said that the public defenders are so essential to managing cases in the counties that they feel these funds are really needed going towards these offices.
So I think another bigger issue, or one of the bigger issues here, is for people who need these attorneys for representation who can't afford their own attorneys. What did you find is sort of the most at-risk aspect for these people? Like, for example, I think your story said that people who have committed serious felonies, like maybe murders or allegedly did, require someone with a little bit higher skill set, more sophistication, so they don't, perhaps if they are innocent, go to prison for life or whatnot. And that seems to be an issue with just kind of having attorneys who are capable of representing more serious cases. Did you find anything in your sort of view? What do you think, that, how does this impact people who are poor and need this type of representation?
Right. Well, this goes back to some of the long-term funding issues that public defender offices are seeing. They're having trouble retaining many of these experienced attorneys. To try a case that's as severe as murder or rape, attorneys are generally required to have certain certifications. And retaining these certified attorneys can be difficult with the pay that these offices are able to give out. So often it leads just to a couple attorneys that are certified to manage these cases within the county, dealing with all of them. So for example, in Washington County, there are two attorneys who are certified to handle capital cases that could result in the death punishment for the defendants. And they're having to manage murder trials that are taking up a significant amount of time, in addition to their other felonies, upwards of 300 felonies that they're managing. A big question for these attorneys is, how do you find the time to do this? And oftentimes they find that they don't have the support staff needed to assist them with a lot of the investigations and the additional work that goes into filing motions, holding meetings. That's posed a lot of challenge for these attorneys. Also meeting clients in jail, that's something that many attorneys have spoken to me about, difficulties of being able to speak face-to-face with defendants. Many jails, or at least some of the jails in some of the counties that I've spoken with attorneys with, they switched to video chats with attorneys, which can be often difficult for attorneys to schedule, as there are generally many parties that are trying to schedule a limited number of video slots with these defendants. So that's kind of complicated this uphill battle that public defenders have faced for a long time in building trust with their clients. So how are you supposed to build trust when you can barely see your client? Some jails have offered an email service, but that's also complicated things, because how are you supposed to interact with somebody you're trying to defend in a legal matter if you can only send them emails?
Right. I mean, to me, it just sort of reinforces that notion that people who are wealthy tend to have a better chance in the criminal justice system than people who are poor. You know, everyone has a constitutional right to legal representation, but this backlog of cases is just kind of even further increasing that disadvantage, because if you don't have time to meet with your clients, and maybe they don't even understand fully their legal rights and they don't understand the law, that they're just going to fall further and further behind in terms of just getting adequate, attorney or legal representation. It just increases those divisions, if that makes sense.
Yes, exactly. I think that's correct. A lot of the public defenders that I spoke to expressed frustration about not being able to spend as much time as they would like to in all these cases. Some of them have told me that they got into this field because they want to represent clients who really have nowhere else to turn, who are facing the full power of the state in managing these cases against them. And just being unable to give their clients this representation has made many of these public defenders feel like they can't do the job that they've really set out to do here.
And you said that some of them are leaving. Is that a huge issue at this point? You know, changing jobs or going to a different private law firm or whatnot? How widespread is that?
Yeah, that's definitely been a problem for many of the offices. I spoke to the managing public defender who oversees offices in Poinsett County, Brian Miles, and he told me that his office has seen five attorneys leave. There are two positions in Poinsett County, two public defender positions, and he's seen five attorneys leave within around the past 2 years. So some of these offices are seeing very significant turnover, and it's been a challenge retaining these attorneys because of the pay that they have.
So I know you've been in touch, you and some of our colleagues have been in touch with Governor Asa Hutchinson's office on this matter. On the legislative level and state leadership, are they taking this seriously? Is anything going to change in the near future with this? What have you heard so far?
Well, Governor Asa Hutchinson and legislators have said that they're working towards a solution, specifically a solution towards the backlog of cases that we're seeing because of court delays during the pandemic. And the governor's has said that he understands that there's a problem, and he's moving towards a solution that would provide additional public defender and prosecutor positions to help manage these positions. These positions would likely be temporary, but it would certainly seems that it would help with this current backlog.
Did you get a sense this is going to happen anytime soon?
The public defenders that I've spoken with said that it has to. In Pulaski, Perry County, of course, there's this March 1st deadline where public defenders said that they would start objecting to additional cases. So if it doesn't happen, courts are going to have trouble managing these cases, as there likely aren't going to be attorneys to represent these clients.
And you also mentioned in your reporting some attorneys, or at least one who you interviewed or one office, has faced some type of ethical complaint or ethical violation. And they're saying this isn't our fault. We have just so many cases. What are we supposed to do about it? And I don't even know who that complaint would come from and what the ramifications are for such a complaint. But what did you find with that?
Right. That complaint I think you're referring to came from a defendant who was saying that his attorney hadn't had enough time to deal with this case and provide adequate representation. And the managing public defender that I was speaking with in that case, Brian Miles, he was saying that his office, like as you mentioned, is completely understaffed. And so the complaint he found wasn't entirely valid because many of his attorneys, all of his attorneys, aren't able to give the time that they need to all their cases. So a big concern has been, since this opinion from the Office of Ethics Counsel has come out, many attorneys are concerned that the number of complaints that they might see could increase as defendants are made aware that many of these attorneys aren't able to provide the counsel that they would like to all their clients.
Well, Will, thank you so much for joining us today. We'll continue to follow the story and see if these backlogs hopefully get better sometime in the next year or so, but it doesn't sound like it anytime soon. Really sounds like an impossible situation just on the outside looking in. We will be back on March 2nd with our next episode of Capital and Scott. And as always, thank you so much for listening.